Listen, after now, serving God will be sweet for you. It's not as if God, last week I gave 10,000. How far now? And I saw your crop the tail. You are checking the time. But now, last week I gave 10,000. Lord, if you want me to give more, send more. That's all. There's nothing like now. You will multiply it. If you multiply it, praise the Lord. If you don't multiply it, he said, Lord, if you don't bring money, not only me will go hungry, all of us will go hungry. Me and your other children. It's true. I will not suffer this offering alone. If the blessing reduces, the offering will reduce. God, I will not give what I don't have. I am not going to give anything that I do not have. So, Lord, if you want me to be a giver, you will first be the giver. Are you getting my point? You will give me plenty. These are Christians' reason. Do what I've told you. Just watch your life. This is why you think that when I give to God, he'll give back to me. It's why this is a struggle. That is why, this is the mentality of cheerful givers. Let me sit on my message. Like I said, that's not my main message. So I just wanted to drop down so that Christians will know that we are doers of good work. We are doers of good work. That's our life. We take joy, gladness. You know, I remember Udechukwu told me something once. He was somewhere. They were watching TV, Omega Channel. And then they were showing our program, which we record here. Somebody was looking at it and said that, it was wondering where this preacher is from. He said, this preacher, he's from Enugu now. The guy said, it's a lie. Udechukwu said, what do you mean? This is the gist of Christianity. He said, I am the one that started the generator. So this is not, this is not, look, I am telling you, without me, there will have been no light that day. I'm adding words to it now. See how Christians take pride. Are you getting my point? So this thing you are watching, yes, now we did do. In fact, let me go and put on Jen at the come. Are you getting my point? That's what we take pride in. It's not because somebody recognizes you, but because you look at it and you nod. It's called for the joy that was set before him. That's the joy of Jesus Christ. He saw that you will no longer be a slave. You know, when they say, what do you appreciate God for the most and stuff like that? Let me tell you, look, because I understand some things about, human history, spiritual history of human beings. And I've been to Elmina Castle. That's in Ghana. That's on the Cape Coast. All right? We're taking a tour of those places where you can store slaves. I've seen those things. You know, people watch, film of the Holocaust in Europe. And they tell you that how Adolf Hitler killed 6 million Jews and other minorities. And some people, when they see the movies, they are squeamish. My wife will almost cry, How can they do like this? It has never moved me. I don't hate Jews, though. Just that they are Jews, they are not black people. So I'm not touched with the feeling of their infirmities. Do you get my point? I'm not saying it's good, though. I'm just saying that it doesn't have a depth of connection with me. I just see general human wickedness. So I can see the movies, I watch it, Schindler's List, whatever it is, all those ones. I can sit down there and watch it. It doesn't move me. But one film I can't watch? I never watch them. It's black history films. I've never watched one. I can't stand them. Is it Color Purple? I watched the first 5 minutes, I took my eyes away. I said, it's a black history film, I can't watch it. 12 Years a Slave, I can't stand. I don't even, give me the film in high definition, 3D, give me goggles, I will not watch. Bring the cinema to my sitting room, ask my wife, I will not watch it. Once it's a black history film, I can't stand it. I won't sleep. Kill 10 billion Jews. I'll be watching the film like this. Wicked man, don't mind him. But you don't know, when I see what was done to slaves, and 90% of the slaves of this world have always been blacks. I'm a black man. I can't stand it. A man will have a son, they will sell his son while he's watching because the master needs money. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. Go and hear what they call lynchings in Mississippi. The whites are just angry. Any black man they see, they put him on a tree and hang him. And at that time, they were not even slaves anymore. If, as a slave, you could read and write, they cut off your hand. It was a crime to be able to write. No, really. If you know, so American blacks have their problems, all right? But this part of their problems, this part of what is ailing them. And that thing is still there till today. I'm telling you. My friends who live in the U.S., and they will tell you. One of my friends said that she has to work double, that is, double on her children. Because the stereotype when they go to school is that you're a black child, you don't know anything. So she has to ensure that the children prove the white teachers wrong. This is the stereotype till today. The point, you know why I went to all of that? Why I went to all of that is this. The slavery thing and all of that. And I told that story about slavery, how I feel and all of that. Because it's one reason why I appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ. The only reason why you are not a slave and you will never be a slave and my children will never be slaves is because Jesus died. That is the only reason. I have a dream. You can dream all you want. If Jesus did not die, the dreaming continues. All that dreaming is because Jesus died, though. I'm talking about the reward. That's what I'm talking about. So for the joy that was set before him, you can imagine how I feel about the slavery thing. They put that same thing before Jesus and say, you will go through these sufferings so that this guy, this young woman, their children will never be slaves. Jesus said, whatever it will take, let's do it. That's the reward of a Christian. That's the reward of a Christian. We are not doing anything in life because, you know, it's poverty mentality. That if I give 10 kobo, I will get 50 naira. And if I give 100 naira, I will get 10,000. It's poverty mentality. True believers is if I give 10,000, a day will come, I will be able to give 1,000,000. If I give 1,000,000, God will see I'm faithful. One day he will say, Banky, help me give out 500 million. When I get to the level of giving out in billions, who can change this world? We can do this. And that's at the end of the day. If we're driving the same car at the beginning, that's we're driving at the end, we are not moved. We just sit down in the morning and say, listen, they are not slaves anymore. And we are glad. Why are they not slaves? Because we did something. That is the reward, though, of Christianity. That's how we count our reward. There was one write-up I saw once. He said a young doctor, a middle-aged doctor, was talking with one man and he saw how much he worked as a doctor. So the man said, for all this work you do, how much do you make? The man said, how much do I make? I'll tell you. I can make your wife survive labor. How much do I make? I can make your child not die from that deadly disease. How much do I make? He began to count the things he made and said, you want to know how much I make? That is how much I make. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I can make you not die. That is how much I make. And that's the reward of Christianity. Therefore, God's ministers seed to the sower. Are you getting my point? And he multiplies what? His seed for sowing. Please, let's get that clear. Like I said, this is not my main message. Let me sit on my message, please. I hope you have been blessed so far. Let me sit on my main message. The main message, I believe that's what the Holy Spirit wants me to teach on today, really. That's the main one. All this is just exhortation and teachings and expositions. But the message I have, the assignment for today, is to tell those who think they have not done enough so as to receive from God. Therefore, their faith is shaky. My message is to them, to tell them, forget it. Jesus has done more than enough for you to receive anything. That's my message for today. We are fighting unbelief. Unbelief is when your confidence is based on the wrong premise. And specifically, my message for today is when some say, because I haven't done enough, that is why what I'm asking God for, he hasn't done it. That has been, remember I said, unbelief is very powerful. It ruins the work of faith. It prevents the blessings of God from being manifested in the lives of God's children. That's what unbelief does. And one major source of unbelief is what I'm talking about today. Christians think they have not done enough to deserve that thing. I have not lived holy enough to get that. I have not given enough. A woman called me once. She was pregnant and she thought she was going to miscarry. And she called the woman that prayed with her ahead of time and said, "What do I do?" The woman said, "How much did you even give that day? What was your offering the day of the prayer?" She said, I didn't think I had much money, maybe like 1,000 naira. I said, 1,000 naira? That is not enough to tie God's hands on this matter. Tell your neighbor, unbelief. The promises of God, they are not enough to tie God's hands on the matter. You need money. Oh God, have mercy on your church. Drive away all these money changers, dear Lord, out of the temple. Such a false prophet plants in the hearts of the children of God that the reason why you are not getting things from God is because you have not done enough to deserve it. And this is not Christianity. When they tell you that nothing leaves God's hands until something leaves your own, it is not true. Nothing leaves God's hands, it is true, until something leaves the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus died so that everything will leave God's hands. He said, "You have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." Everything is already yours in the name of Jesus Christ. Everything is already yours. The reason why you are not getting it is not because you have not done enough so as to deserve it. I tell this joke all the time. It happened to one of our brothers here. One day we were talking a few years ago. I know it's more than 8 years because my daughter wasn't born that time. And he told me he doesn't ask God for anything. And that's the unbelief we're talking about. He said he doesn't ask God for anything. I said, "My brother, in these dangerous times, even our protection self, say, okay, God, don't give me anything. Just prevent me from being killed anyhow. Protect me from kidnappers, Abby." He said he doesn't ask God for anything. I said, I was knocked out. I said, "Why?" Tell your neighbor, unbelief. He said, "I don't know what I have done for him." I said, "Yeah." He knew me very well. I said, "You know my two children?" He said, "Yes." I said, "What do they do for me?" He got the point. I said, "What do they do for me? They don't do anything for me. They don't do anything for me. How can I say that I can't ask God because I have not done anything for him?" That is a major cause of unbelief today. And the major source is wrong teaching. Let me tell you something. If you're a pastor, let me tell you something. God will have mercy on you for all your iniquity. But just know the consequences of your iniquity. All these messages you preach because you think it raises money, you don't realize that without those messages, you are destroying the faith of people. A friend of mine is a pastor, not in Enugu here, somewhere else. He said one day, when he first came to town, a young man came to see him. He was having serious business problems. You know the way it is? Difficulty. In fact, specifically, this is Naba. Most people there are business people. So business has been rough for this young man. So he was a pastor, just came to town. So one of that fellow's friends came to see him. And they told him, "Let's go and see my pastor." He said, so he booked an appointment and he was waiting. He said when they arrived, he saw them park and they came down from the car. He saw them fiddling, you know, trying to arrange, put money in an envelope to come and see the pastor. Before I tell you what happened with him, he said, "Do you know why he came to see him? Not the member of his church?" He went to another church. I don't know whether he's a member of that church. He went to see the pastor, discuss his problems. And before he entered, the secretary of the pastor said, "I hope you brought a good offering." And he was like, "Why?" He said, "So that the man of God will be provoked to pray for you." This really happened. He had booked an appointment to see the pastor. That was where he turned back. He said, "Which kind of good offering? Is it not because of poverty that I came?" So he was confused. He needed spiritual help. He didn't know where to go to. That's when someone asked him, look, come, we have this new pastor in town. Don't worry. You don't need the special offering to see him. So he came. He said, even when he arrived, he still felt that, okay, the offering may not be big, but at least let there be small offering. So he came to see this pastor. That's my friend. And that one counseled him, you know, prayed with him and everything. And as he was about to leave, he has seen the envelope, you know. He saw them arranging it from the window. So they were leaving, he brought out the envelope. My friend looked at the envelope. It was good size, you know. He looked at it and said, listen, you told me that there's trouble, right? Okay, I give you this money back. Go and invest it in that business. Don't worry. When you have prospered, we will see again. Go. The talk was around town, see? A strange thing is happening in this place. Where did this man come from? Because Christians think they can't get anything out of God until they have given money. And God has commissioned me to tell you it's a lie. It's a lie. Giving is good. People have blessed me and I've enjoyed. Listen, it makes me glad when somebody who I bless gives me something. I enjoy it more than one day. I told my wife, I sat my wife and corrected her very well. He said, I was telling her something. She said, a wolf money. I said, lie, it's not a wolf. I said, any money given to me by somebody I bless is not a wolf. He said, the laborer is worthy of his wages. I told my wife, I said, listen, I value it more than what UNTH pays me. I remember one day, one sister knocked on my door and gave me an envelope containing some money. I told my wife later, I said, I appreciate, look, money was not my problem. But coming from her, it was sweet. Listen, so I know that giving to a man of God is good. Amen? Amen. But listen to me. It is not as if, it's not like it is a prerequisite for blessing. If I pray for you, go. You are free. The prayer is free. You get what I'm saying? What did I say? The prayer is free. We mustn't mix these things up. That's the point I'm making. If I give to my mother, it is not because I want her to give birth to me. Are you getting what I'm saying? Say, mommy, please try to bond me again. No. A son honors his father. A son honors his mother. I'm not giving to her so that now she'll give birth to me again. No. That is just my duty. I fulfill my duty in life. Please get my point. However, the blessing is not because of the money. We Christians, we preach the gospel and it costs us money. Amen? And like I keep on saying, am I supposed to go to Alhaji Ali Kodo Dangote because he's the richest man in Africa? I say, give us money to preach the gospel. God forbid that. If you give me the opportunity to meet Alhaji Dangote and he says, what do you need? I'll say to him, sir, I want you to read this book, Peradventure You Will Believe. I'm not lying to you. You know, I will not lie to you. I will not. His presence will not intimidate me. I won't ask him for a dime. Please, I hope you're getting my point. Like I said, I have a message for today. Every other thing that I was saying is exhortations, teachings, all right? Expositions. But my message for today is to tell you that the unbelief in your life, why you think God hasn't given you that thing, is because somebody has lied to you that you have not yet deserved it. And I'm saying to you today, you deserve it more than anybody else. You know why? Because Jesus paid for it. Because Jesus paid for it. There are different ways to buy something like a car. I can work hard. Or somebody could call me one day and say, Banky, you said you wanted this car, yes. Go down to name one car shop in Enugu. They don't have big ones. So anyway, let's just think of Lagos, right? Kia is there. Cavia Motors, yes, Kia. So I could go there and pay for it, you know, get the finance and everything. Or somebody will come and say, look, go. You said you wanted maybe their big SUV. I've already paid for it. And maybe I'm going with one of my colleagues. And he says, what are you doing? I just want to go and collect a car. But you know they have not been paying us much. I said, don't worry about it. I get there. Please, my name is so. Okay, yeah, you're welcome. You know the guy is looking at me like, what have you done to deserve it? I said, nothing. Except that One good man of God, you know, that God blessed financially, he has paid, and he says, just come and collect the keys. All I need to do now is go there and show them an ID card. And I go and say, what have you done to deserve it? No, now, what thing concern me? Somebody has paid for it, two of us. Should I drive the car? I should drive it? Why should I drive when I didn't pay for it? What have I done to deserve it? Why should I be driving it? Listen, everything you're asking God for in life, that is the same principle that underlies the thing. Let me say this to you. A good husband is not a reward for a faithful life as a young woman. It's a reward of faith. Are you getting my point? If you don't believe, no matter how good a girl you are, you will die and go to hellfire. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. Prosperity is because Jesus died. You know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. When you go home today, let nobody, in fact, you know you are going to renew that your prayer. That prayer was begetting results for you. You were just deceived to think you actually don't deserve it. And I've come to tell you today, yes, we know you don't deserve it, but somebody paid for it. Did you hear what I said? You don't deserve it, we all agree. Who doesn't agree? We all agree. But what difference does it make? That car, did I pay for it? No. Somebody has paid for it. I'm telling you, Jesus already paid for you. Somebody say amen, please. Amen. Jesus already paid for you. He already did. Somebody say, a thief stole my thing because I didn't pay my tithe. It's a lie. You know, I almost believed that gospel as a young man. Somebody said, pay your tithe so that the devourer will not come. I said, okay. You know the funny thing? Good Lord in his infinite mercies and everlasting kindness has been with me. Then one day I paid my tithe so that the devourer will not come. So God said, Gabriel, dash this boy two devourers. Just two. They came after me tooth and toenail. And stole the little possessions I had as a young student. So I went and met the brother who said that we should pay our tithes so that the brother will leave us alone. He said that tithe was a seed, never germinate. I said, sir, that was not what you said, though. You said, God said, prove me now. It was prove me now. When did this only become a seed? You know, I'm not basing the doctrine on my experience. I knew the word of God before then, and I knew what they were preaching was not in line with the truth of Christ Jesus. But when they said, let's throw down a challenge, prove me now, I said, okay, let's enter into your challenge. And God said, Banky, please. There are few people that have not bowed their heads to this doctrine. You are one of the few. Let me just keep you standing so I can help people later on in life. Let me say to Christians, not Malachians. To whom? Jesus. Listen, let me tell you something. After Jesus died, some laws, some principles, they changed though. Listen, no matter how much you obey that commandment, if your obedience is not drawn out of faith, it doesn't get you anything. It doesn't. I saw one man on TV one day, one of these Christian channels. He read the first commandment from a Christian, he read the Ten Commandments from a Christian perspective. Yay. I said, yay. I never said like this before. He said something like, you know, first commandment, I said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Is that the number one? Yeah, it's number one. Right? But he said that this is the Christianity in it. That God was saying, you will not need any other God apart from me. I don't know what I get the point. There is a thou shalt not. There is, don't worry about it. You won't need it. He said, he gave another one. Like, thou shalt not covet your neighbor's goods. He read it like this. He said, I will bless you abundantly. You will prosper so much, you will never need to covet anybody's things. Hey! I was looking at this man like this. This man was reading commandments. I said, the same commandments. What am I saying? Obedience to those commandments will come out of faith. For example, the law of Sabbath. I mean, just understanding the scriptures, you understand that a Christian should obey the Christian law of Sabbath. Like I say all the time, if you miss an opportunity, it was not your own. So we don't rush after every opportunity. So if you were here, now you forget that job, but that other man has gotten it. I said, do you realize that man too has to eat? Or you think I'm the only one that God wants to bless in this life? The other man too has a wife. He has children. He has a mother. He has cousins. If I take all the jobs, am I the one that will now be supplying all his needs? Not every job is my own. He has taken his own. That's a Christian law of Sabbath. If a man has is my age, is everything, he has 10 times the amount of money that I have, you know what it means to me? I ask you a simple question. Does he preach 10 times the number of messages I preach? The answer is no. So his anointing is cash. My own anointing is teach. For that reason, and let me tell you, later on we'll talk about it. For that reason, anytime we give an offering, if I give 10 naira, he should give 100. I don't know whether I get my point. For that reason, I don't envy him at all. I'm not jealous of him. If he's somebody that's free with money, who we are very good friends, I will tell him to him straight. Oh boy, 1 million naira is needed. I've given 100,000 naira. Where's the other 900? There's no question. And he will understand. It's okay. I said, by the way, when we are spending that 1 million naira, we need to preach on it. So I will preach 9 hours. You can come and give testimony for 1 hour. The whole job is complete. One day, brother gave Kingdom Word an offering. So before that, I had said that, look, this guy, why are you, the last few years, you've given this Kingdom Word the same amount of money. This year, I'm going to ask him whether they are not promoting him. So that year, he now added money. I said, hey, very good. The guy heard me ahead of time. So he gave me money also. You know, okay, man of God, take. So I called him. I said, how come the offering of Kingdom is going up, my own is going down? What is happening? I said, please explain it. Last year, he gave me some other money. This year, it went down. Well, Kingdom, last year, I said, hey, oh, boy, well, please settle this matter. What is, did you carry my money to give Kingdom? What? Please, oh. He laughed. He said, okay, I'm very, very sorry. I didn't check. I said, go and check well. And, you know, balance this thing. There's no jealousy. Are you getting my point? There's no jealousy in it. There's nothing. There's no jealousy. There's no jealousy. Everybody has the assignment. Do your own. I do my own. That's how we read the commandments. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife. Who wants to covet your wife? I like my own. Do you get my point? I love my wife. The two has become one flesh. If I need to covet your wife, my wife and I have to jointly covet her. So, I don't know how we are going to arrange that. How me and my wife will agree to covet another person's wife. Listen, the Ten Commandments, they are easy to keep. You know, the Ten Commandments didn't say, thou shalt forgive. You know, there's no thou shalt forgive in it. Is it there? It was Jesus that came and began to give us real commandments and empowered us to fulfill those commandments. What am I saying? God is not even blessing us because of those commandments. He's blessing us because of what? Faith. Listen to me. Jesus has paid everything. Don't let anything shake your faith, making you feel like the reason why is because you have not. No, no, no. The only thing you can claim as what you have not done is that you have not believed. And I'm even telling you today, this will surprise some people. I'm telling you today that you have believed, self. Say amen.
Amen.
You know what it means to be a believer? If you're a believer, please put up your hand. Please put it up. Shake it. Shake it very well. Shake it properly if you're a believer. Now, if you're a believer, say amen.
Amen.
Say the amen again.
Amen.
Say very loud.
Amen.
You know what a believer is? Somebody who believes. It's not the person who has believed. A believer is a va. You know, is believing. So you have believed, say amen.
Amen.
For that thing you're asking God for, I say you have believed, say amen.
Amen.
What we are fighting is that unbelief that now comes up and say, why should you get it? Do you deserve it? Better people than you, they have not collected. Who said you will collect? Are you getting my point? That's what we are fighting. The answer is, well, I don't know about them all, but my own has been paid for. Jesus paid for it. I am not doing anything to pay for it. I just am receiving it. I'm opening my hands and say, Lord, drop it in here. The only problem is when the nasty people say, you never, it's not for people like you. You now hold your hand and you won't go there. Once you have the boldness to go there and open your hands, are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
You receive it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let's rise to our feet. I feel like we should just pray small. Like I said, that is the message for today. Every other thing I said there, I was just explaining and talking and trying to get a good background. The message for today is what I have given you. I did not even lay my emphasis on those who wrongly, because that's one. There are those who, they are wrong. They have confidence that they have received, but their confidence is based upon an error that have done it well. Remember the story, two men went to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The tax collector said, be merciful unto me, the sinner. The Pharisee said, I have paid tithe of everything. I fast twice a week. I am not even like this sinner. Pointed at somebody. And Jesus said, that other man who said, be merciful unto me, the sinner. He went home justified. What is the mercy of God? The name of the mercy of God is Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? Come on, let me just give you a minute to pray. Just begin to declare. Say, you have something in your mind. As I was preaching, something came to your mind. Say, I have received it in the name of Jesus, not because I deserve it, but because Jesus paid for it. Say, I have received it in the name of Jesus, not because I deserved it by myself, not because of my life of holiness, not because of my life of righteousness, not because of my life of tithing, not because of my life of giving, not because I have done all these things well, not because I have fasted, not because I have prayed, but because Jesus paid. Mention that thing. Say, listen, I'm not sowing any seed for you again. If I, even the seeds I sowed, I hereby uproot them. Because they are giving me wrong confidence. No, I'm serious. Speak to the Lord. Say, even the offering I gave towards that thing, I dash you, Lord. Don't multiply it. So that my confidence will not be in it. But I can't collect it back, so I dash you. Father God, I dash you. I dash my church, I dash my pastor, I dash the poor. I don't want anything back because of that one. I am now laying claim because of what Jesus did. I am not laying claim because of what Jesus did. I want to declare it loud. Say, Lord, I lay claim because of what Jesus did. I lay claim to my breakthrough. I lay claim to my healing. I lay claim to my anything I want in life, to my increase, to my marriage, to my childbearing, to my perfect health, to my promotion, to open doors, to opportunities to use my skill to bless somebody. I lay claim. Not because of what I did, but because Jesus paid. Please, I want you to pray that prayer specifically. Say, Lord, every seed I said I sowed towards that thing, I release them. I am not going to mention them again. If I have given, I am not going to talk about it. If I've lived a very holy life, I won't talk about it. Even if I've lived an unholy life, I won't talk about it. Everything has been covered by the blood of Jesus. Now, I'm laying claim because Jesus paid. Now I'm laying claim because Jesus shed his blood. I'm laying claim because by the shedding of that blood, the promises of God are effective in my life. Now I'm laying claim because what God is doing right now is fulfilling his word in my life. Because he takes pleasure in fulfilling his word. See, I do not come by the power of my own righteousness. I come simply because Jesus paid. Oh, say, Lord, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Say, God, thank you for Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for Jesus. Because of him, I'm no longer a slave. Because of him, I can't be a slave. Because of him, sin will not have dominion over me. Because of him, I walk in righteousness. I have the power to walk in righteousness. I want us to pray that. I want you to declare it. Just be saying it. As I'm saying it, use your own words, whichever way, but declare it. It is not by my own works. Any work I did, which was inside my heart, I renounce it. As in claiming, making a claim based on it, I renounce it. Listen, saints of God, you must renounce both good works and bad works. All of them are buried under the power of the blood of Jesus. All of them. All of them. Oh, we pastors, we have done bad for a long time. We made the people of God trust in their own offerings rather than in the offering of Jesus Christ. Many of you here, you sowed seeds. And that seed has been the reason why God has not been able to bless you, because you have locked your eyes on the seed when your eyes should have been on Jesus Christ. Remember, it is those who look to him steadfastly, expectantly, they are the ones that get healed when they put up their eyes to that Jesus. In the same manner, I said, those in the New Testament who believe, that's what faith is, to look at Jesus. I told you about that, our brother. He said he forced the thought, he said ancestral curse. He said, no, in Christ Jesus, I cannot be cursed. Eventually, the thing broke. It is time to rejoice. Believe me, when you go back home today, start dancing. Start laughing. Start smiling. Start laughing. Start smiling. Be excited. Like, yay. It is not what I can do. It is what Jesus has done. Be excited. Oh, Father, we give you thanks. I just feel like ending with this joke again. All right? Just to point this out to people. Remember the man who wanted to enter heaven? He said, you need 100 points to enter this place. What have you done to deserve 100 points? He said, I was a very good man, faithful husband. They said, give him 2 points. I helped the poor, give him 0.5 point. I preached the gospel, give him 1 point. He listed all his good works. He had not even crossed 5 points. By the time he was getting tired, he said, ha. He was desperate. He said, Lord, it's only by his grace that a person will enter this place today. Danger said, 100 points. Come in. Why? Because he said it's only by his grace. While he was counting his good works, he never attained to it. And many people's prayers have been hindered because they've been counting their good works. Have I prayed enough? Have I fasted enough? Have I given enough? How holy have I lived? And that's the reason why they have not received anything. All those your good works, they are wiped away today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
They are wiped away from your memory in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
They are wiped away from your prayer life in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You receive everything because Jesus paid for them in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
This week, that is, next 7 days, expect a miracle.
Amen.
Please, and this time I want to hear the testimony. Book an appointment, come and give me the story.
Amen.
Because it will happen.
Amen.
You know the truth? That the truth is that God, something has been waiting to happen to you a long time.
Yes, sir.
Anytime it wants to happen, you give the glory to other gods. So God said, he can't come up forward like that. But now that you have taken the glory and you have put it in the right place, in 7 days, somebody will receive a miracle in this place.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What was close to you will open for you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Listen, it's not because it's now God wants to give it. He gave it since. It's just that you couldn't receive it because you were facing the wrong direction. Now you have faced the right direction. Your hands are open. You are giving glory to God. It will come to you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's begin to give him thanks. Just say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Let's share the grace in fellowship because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.